Good morning. I hadn't reminded you in a couple of weeks why we're here on Sunday morning, but remember, we are here for Celebration Sunday at Second Baptist Church. Amen? We're here celebrating the victory of Jesus Christ. And I want to remind you this morning that we are deeply loved, we're divinely appointed, we're abundantly equipped, and we're profoundly cherished by an almighty God. And no enemy, no scheme, or no obstacle can keep me from the finest will that God has, especially for me. And through Him and listening to His voice, I can see the invisible, I can accomplish the impossible, and I can love the unlovable. Why? Because Jesus Christ lives in me. Amen. Isn't that why we're here this morning? Thank you, IRA, for leading us in worship. What an awesome, awesome experience. And why we're here this morning brings me to this word called transformation, called your favorite word, you ready? Change. I thought since you guys were voting this morning, I would give you something to vote on. Change. Transformation. I wonder this morning, how many of you have been transformed? Have been changed, have been transformed in the name of Christ. You see, we are told that once we meet Jesus, everything will change. We've heard, probably even quoted ourselves, that behold, all things have passed away and all things are new. And if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. We've all heard that. We've all quoted it. And my question this morning is, if that is true, what is it that should change? What is it that when we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, what should change? What is the transformation that should take place in the life of someone who has accepted Jesus Christ? And can I be honest with you this morning? Because the reason that I ask that question is the truth is, I don't necessarily see a lot of change in people who claim to have met Christ. They have the same desires, they have the same goals, they behave the same, they act the same, they have the same things in front of them. So what is it that should change? Now let me acknowledge before we get into this morning, I completely understand it is human nature that we don't want to change. We avoid change. We fight change. We hate change. But let me tell you something, church, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, we are changing. Go look at your senior picture. We are changing. And that's why Mark Twain said, the only person that likes change is a wet baby. We avoid change at all costs. And why do we do that? Because in order to change, you have to be uncomfortable. And we don't like to be uncomfortable. In order to change, sometimes there's some pain in that. Sometimes there's some hurt in that. And we don't like that. So change is hard. Change has to become, for the life of a church member and the life of a Christian, change has to become part of life. It is who we are. It is what God created. So whether you like it or not, and whether you believe it or not, we are changing. And whether you like it or not, and whether you believe it or not, we must change. One of my favorite quotes of all time is by a man named Max Dupree. He said, in the end, it is important to remember that we cannot become what we need to be by remaining what we are. And when we talk about change, one of the golden passages, one of the scriptures that's quoted and referenced the most, Isaiah chapter 43. I have it on the screen for you this morning, the 18th and 19th verse. And the portion of this scripture is not only powerful, but just as important is it reveals the position that God takes toward transformation and change. Let's read it together. It says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Some of your translations said, do you not know it? I am making a way in the desert and in the streams and in the wasteland. You see that God desires and God wants to bring change, something new into our lives. But in order to bring something new into our lives, He has to change us. Why? Because He has to remove the old. He has to remove the old in order to create a new thing, a new creature. Now, how many of you would be honest enough in this morning to say, you know what, Billy, in my Christian life, there are some things I need to change? Would anybody be honest enough to say that? Amen, I would too. How many of you would say, you know what, Billy, Second Baptist Church needs to change? How many of you would be honest enough to say that? Amen. The problem with that mission, the problem with trying to admit that we need to change is simply until we become dissatisfied with where we are, we'll never get to where we want to be. Until we become so dissatisfied, until we hate where we are, we will not get to where we need to be. And it has to be more than lip service, church. It has to be a desperate cry for something else, for something new, for a different thing. So let me ask you again, knowing that it's going to be uncomfortable and knowing that it's going to be hard, how many of you are honest enough to say, Billy, I need to change? Yes, amen. We all do, right? The Bible teaches that. And the good news is God Almighty, He desires that change. He wants to help you with that change. He wants to be involved in that transformation in your life. And so you say, well, Billy, how do we do that? Well, that's a great question. But I think transformation begins in an area in our life we're going to talk about this morning. Transformation begins in your mind. Transformation, change must begin in your mind. And you know the scripture, Romans 12 and chapter 12 and verse 2, and it says, be not fashioned according to the world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your what? Of your mind. Why? So that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. That's what it says. In other words, it says, don't be so well adjusted that you fit in to society without even thinking about it. It says, fix your attention on God and let Him change you from the inside out. You see, readily recognize what God wants for you and then quickly respond to whatever that is. Unlike the culture around you that's always dragging you down to this level of immaturity, God wants what is best for you. God wants what is best for Second Baptist Church. He will bring the best out of us and He will develop this well-formed maturity within our church body, within our spiritual life. You see, I believe that if we're going to be transformed in our spiritual life, if we're going to be transformed at Second Baptist Church, then it begins, that transformation begins in our mind. You say, what does that mean? We have to think differently than we thought before we met Jesus. We must think differently than we thought before we met Jesus. That's why Paul tells us in Ephesians 4, remember what he says? He said, be renewed in our mind so that we don't act like we acted before we met Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus Himself said, love God with all of our mind. You see, our mind and our thoughts are crucial to transformation. Whatever you hold in your mind tends to occur in your life. Whatever you hold in your mind tends to occur in the life of a church. If you always believe what you've always believed, then you'll always act like you've always acted. And if you always act like you've always acted, then you'll always get what you've always gotten. And God desires to transform that, to change what your mindset is, to change it. And there are many ways that He wants to do that and change your mind, but we're going to go over four this morning, four areas in our mind that I think God wants to change. One of those is what we think about. Your thought life, and you say, well, you've gone from preaching to meddling now, and that's right. What we think about, our thought life. Let me share a scary thought with you. In the book of Matthew, in the 9th chapter, in the 4th verse, you know what? Jesus said He knew the thoughts of the disciples. You see, we tend to think that our thought life may be off limits to God. However, He's constantly walking through our mind. He's constantly walking through our thoughts. God is all-knowing. And then we turn over to Philippians in the 4th chapter in the 8th verse, and it teaches us what we are supposed to think about. And here's what it says. It says, think about those things that are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and of good rapport. And if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, does that sound like your thought life? What do you think about? What clouds your mind every day in your thought life? Are there any areas in your thought life that would not fit in to that category? That would not fit into true or pure or honorable or lovely or of good rapport? And then you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and the 3rd verse in the Bible gives us the responsibility of our thought life. The Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God, casting down on strongholds, casting down on imaginations, and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In other words, you and I have the ability to control our thought life by the power of God that works in our life if we will simply access that power. We should be aware of every idea. We should be aware of every thought, every imagination that enters into our mind, and if it does not line up with the Word of God, then it should be banished. We should remove it. That's why hearing the Word is so crucial. Ephesians 5:26 tells us that the Word of God is a cleaning agent. It is a cleaning agent. We are in fact washed by the water of His Word. That's why reading the Word helps us transform our minds. That's why hearing the Word is so crucial. Remember what Romans 10:17 says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You need to hear His Word on a weekly basis, church, so that it can produce faith in you. We need to hear His Word to wash out the mess that we allow in our minds. We must have a transformation in the way we think, in our thought life. You see, we need to be more responsible for what we place in our mind. The Bible says, whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. We must follow the admonition of Colossians 3:2. The Bible says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth. So our first transformation would be changing our mind, our thought. What goes in usually comes out. What are we putting there? Trash in, trash out. Good in, good out. Secondly, what do we think about ourselves? Back in Romans, in the 12th chapter, the Word of God tells us to renew our minds, and it tells us to allow our minds to be changed. But right after that, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 and verse 16, the writer deals with what we think about ourselves. How we look upon ourselves. Verse 3 says, for I say, through the grace that was given me to every man among you, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think as to think soberly, according to God has dealt each man this measure of faith. And then down in verse 16, here it says, get along with everybody. Don't walk around here and be stuck up. Don't walk around here and act like you own this place. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be a great somebody. You see, most of us consider ourselves either one of two ways, and in most cases, both of those are wrong. Most of us consider ourselves either too high or too low. And too high means we're proud. Let me give you an example or run through what someone that thinks of themselves too high, what they think of, and then what do they associate that with. They think they're better than everyone else. We think we're too good, and we expect special treatment because we're that good and that better than everyone else. And we strut around this place like we own it. And we love to be in charge, and that produces paranoia. We are so self-aware and we're so self-absorbed that we think everyone is out to get me. They're all want to hurt me. Everyone's talking about me. Everyone's gossiping about me. We become suspicious. We become untrusting. And because you view yourself as being hurt, you get hurt. And then we become a victim in our own minds, and we walk around and we judge everyone's intentions and we judge everyone's actions by our mindset that they're out to get me. And then we think of ourselves maybe as too low. We see ourselves as a nobody. We see ourselves as useless or insignificant or fat or ugly or reject or a low self-esteem. Church, we must change the way we think about ourselves. We must change the way we think about our church. This is God's holy ground. We come here to worship an almighty God, not to worship a preacher or a music guy, we come here to worship an almighty God. Our mindset. We need to understand that we're not better than anyone else. We can't be trapped in this woe is me esteem, because remember, we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. In other words, church, we're royalty. We are royalty. And that fact should make us feel good. But it also should humble us, because we fully recognize that we're not worthy of what He's given us. So changing the mindset, being transformed on how we think about others, ourselves. And then thirdly, how we think about others. My dad made a comment one time, I remember. He said, Billy, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. You know, there's a lot of truth to that. You can pick your friends, but you don't get to pick your family. Well, God wants us to see each other as family. God wants us to see each other as family. God wants to change us. He wants to transform us on how we think about each other. Again, back in the book of Romans, we're given instructions on how we are to think about others. In Romans 12 and verse 10, here's what it says. It says, be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Verse 13 says, help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Verse 14 says, bless your enemies. Don't curse them under your breath. Verse 15, laugh with your happy friends, and then share tears when they're down. Verse 17 says, don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. Verse 18 says, then if you have it in you, get along with everybody. That's the instructions on how we are to see others. You see, God desires to birth this sense of compassion in your heart for others. I was reading Ann Landerson. I found this little column. It says, Dear Ann Landers, it happened again today. My two sons and I were shopping in the mall, and a total stranger felt the need to comment on the fact that my boys don't look anything alike. And apparently my six-year-old had had enough, and he decided it was time to explain the difference. And he looked up at the man and said, Sir, I am adopted. He said, Sir, I am adopted. That's when you have the same family, but not the same face. It's the perfect line of what we are, of what church is. We have the same family, but not the same face. The Bible says that we are adopted. That is who we are. We are adopted. And too often we see each other as competition for attention, or competition against each other. We see each other, even in the church, as a foe rather than a friend, as a bother rather than a brother.
Because it's the outlook in which we have on each other. We look around and in our mind as we're walking through, we're thinking, boy, there's a burden. There's a burden. Boy, I hope they don't see me today. I don't want to shake their hand today. What are we doing? There's God's brothers and sisters in this place. There's no one in here. No, not one perfect. None. And we should walk around and we should see each other in the eyes of God. Oh, saved. Saved. Going to heaven. That one's going to heaven. Praise God, they're working in the ministry. Praise God, they're doing this. That, isn't that how God sees us? Aren't you glad God doesn't see you for who you are? The Bible says when you're saved and you're washed of the blood, He sees you through the eyes of Jesus. Oh. And that's all He wants us to do. He wants us to see each other and to love each other and to pray with each other and to encourage each other through the eyes of Jesus as He sees them. Not as we see them. Not as we judge them. Not as we curse each other. Not as that we are a burden for each other. But we are brothers and sisters in Christ. God desires to see that transformation inside of our church, inside of our spiritual life. He wants us to learn to see others as He sees them. And then fourthly, He wants us to change or transform how we think about the church. Now, I've been through a lot of churches. And I've preached at a lot of different churches. And I've talked to a lot of different people. But I think generally there are three ways that people think about church. One is, church is an obligation. Church is an obligation. I have to attend because I'm obligated because of my parents or my spouse. Or you know what, I've been to that church for 41 years and it's a habit. So I've got to go. I've got to go sit on my pew at my distinct time. I've made sure I've got my park. And then I get my bulletin and I go sit in my spot because I've been doing that forever. And I am obligated to be. They wouldn't have church Sunday if I weren't here. The obligation mentality. And then secondly, there's the maintenance. The maintenance says, oh, it's the same old, same old. It's the same people doing the same old things. And we got the same four people take up the offering, the same three people singing every Sunday, same guy preaching every Sunday. It's the same old stuff. I can be there. You know, it's just high maintenance. I can show up if I want to. And then the third way is optional. And optional says I can take it or leave it. And I'll take it unless something better comes along and then I'll leave it. And it goes back to the way I think about others. Boy, I don't like that guy, so I'm not going to church with him. That preacher, I don't like him at all. I'm going to find me a new church. And what we really need to do is it's not about the preacher and it's not about that guy. It's about what's inside our hearts. We can only take care of one, and that's us. And Christ cleanses us. So are you obligated, or do you feel like it's maintenance, or do you feel like it's optional? You see, church, I've been preaching a long time about we must change the way we think about church. We must change the way that we think about church. We cannot attend church out of obligation. We cannot attend church because it's our duty, because it makes us feel better. Listen, my Bible says a lukewarm Christian, it makes God nauseated. When you walk in here out of obligation, why are you here? You are here for self-reward. You are here because it makes you feel better. You are the sitting here and not worshiping God. You're a spectator because you're obligated to be here. Do you realize that being here this morning is a privilege? Do you realize that being here this morning is an honor? Do you realize that being in God's house is an opportunity? It's all of those things. And when you realize that there have been men and women that have died for your right to sit in here and pray together and talk God's Word together and sing together, then maybe your mindset would change. But there are people that have laid their life on the line so that we would have an opportunity to praise publicly an Almighty God. So don't feel obligated. Secondly, we cannot view church as maintenance. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I wonder how many people got up this morning. And I get up on Sunday morning and I go sit on my back porch. And I do a praying and thinking about today and going through my mind. But here's something else I do. And I wonder how many, you probably do it too. But I sit there and I'm wondering, God, what are you going to do today? God, what are you going to do today? I walk into church with an expectation that the Holy Spirit of God is going to be in this place. I walk in here with an expectation that God is going to transform someone today. What does that mean? It means He's going to transform to a new creature and remove something of the old. He's going to get rid of something from Billy today, something that I've been holding on to, something that I refuse to let go of, and today God is going to get rid of that. But I walk in expecting God to move. When's the last time you walked in those doors back there? Not out of obligation, but you walked in here saying, God is in this place. He's going to move today. And I'm expecting the Holy Spirit to encircle this place and move. How long's it been? And if He did, we would all get up and run, right? It would scare us to death. But are we in the expectation mode of God moving in our church or in our home? Let me tell you, the atmosphere of expectancy is the breeding ground of miracles. Praying to expectancy. God, thank you in advance for what you're going to do today. What is that? I'm expecting God to move. It's the breeding ground for His miracles. We have to anticipate something new, something God is going to do. And finally, church cannot be optional. We cannot allow church to become an option. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:25 that we should meet together. But we must begin to view church as priority. Let me tell you what church is to me. Church to me is a place of life. Church to me is where I come and I refuel. Church to me is a place where I come and I refire and I'm ready to go again and I recharge and I get my energy going and I see people that I love being around and I hug them and I shake their hand and they tell me about the week and we pray together and we sing together and we worship together. And church is life. You don't need to miss that. It is a place of life. You see, a man becomes what he thinks. You will become what you think you are. A man becomes what he thinks. Emerson said, a man is what he thinks about all day long. There's a Roman emperor that said, a man's life is what his thoughts make of it. William James says the greatest discovery of his generation is that human beings can alter their lives by altering the attitude of their mind. And in the good old Bible, we find as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You see, the way we think will move us closer to Christ-likeness or further away from His image. We must renew our mind. We must be transformed in order for us to be transformers for someone else, for this world, for our church, And in order to do that, we have to change our mind. Change our mindset. I'm reminded of a prayer. The prayer comes from Psalms, and it comes from David in Psalms 26 and 2. And the Bible says, "Examine me, O Jehovah, and prove me. Try my heart and my mind." Would that be your prayer today? Try my heart and my mind. My question to close this morning is, what is it in your life that you need to change? What is it that you've been holding on to and holding on to and holding on to for so long, and God wants to change that, but in order to change it, He's got to get rid of the old. And you need to get rid of it. What is it in the life of our church that needs to change? What is it? What is that? Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to commit to that? Would you be willing this morning to say, "Billy, I'm in. I'm all in. We need to change. We need to get rid of some of the old in my personal life, in this church life." Whatever that is. It doesn't matter what it is. It just matters that we get rid of it. That we address it. It doesn't matter how long it's been here. It just matters that it's gone. It doesn't matter how long we've been fighting it. It just matters that we remove it. In our spiritual lives as well, as our church. There just has to be a transformation, a change to get rid of something that's old. Let God create something that's new. I haven't been here long, but I know from the first time I was here till now, there's a different spirit in this church. I don't know that I don't have anything to do. That's God. That's the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we've opened up and said, "God, come. Come." And so you come to church now expecting something to happen. You come to church now with a smile on your face. Praise the Lord. Because you weren't very happy the first time I met you. God will transform us. He wants to transform us. But we must allow Him. And we must go to Him in prayer and repentance. And we say, "God, this is the part of my life I need to change. I'm removing this from my life. God, this is the part of our church. We've got to get rid of this." Whatever that is. Would you be willing to do that this morning? To make that commitment? Maybe you're here this morning and you would say, "You know what, Billy? I don't know that I've been transformed." In other words, I don't know that I've had Jesus Christ in my life. And until you've done that, what I've said to you today is a foreign language. Until you've accepted Christ and you say, "Jesus is my Savior," then you can be transformed. Not until then. Would you let Him do that to you this morning? Transform you by the blood of Christ? Maybe you'll come this morning and just say, "I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this transformation. I want to be a part of this new spirit. I want to be a part of Second Baptist Church and what's going on at Second Baptist Church." Then you come down. Join us in this transformation. Join us in this idea of change. Join us in this idea of, it's not about me and it's not about you. It's all about Him. Join us this morning in that. Maybe you'd say, "I hadn't been baptized and I need to follow the Lord in baptism." We invite you to come do that. Follow the Lord in baptism. His commandment. Whatever it is. I've noticed that we have two extra prayer jars up here. We're up to six. We keep filling them up. Our little cards are on the front. And whatever it is you need to write down as a prayer request or a praise, put it in the prayer jar. Let's continue to pray over those. We're seeing things happen in the life of our church, in the life of people, and I think it's all about prayer. So during the invitation, we invite you to do that as well. Whatever God has for you this morning, maybe you want to write down a change on a piece of paper and put it in, whatever it is, Would you commit to doing that? Father God, thank you this morning for this time that we come together. And Father, we know that you are exactly who you say you are. Father, we know that we are a changing people, that we must change whether we like it or not. And Father, that you won't change and you want to see transformation in lives. And Father, may we take hold of that and may we decide Second Baptist Church is going to change. Second Baptist Church is going to be transformed in the image of Christ. In the way that we see ourselves, in the way that we see other people, in the way that we think about the church, and Father, in the way that we, our thought life, Father, it would change. And that every imagination and every idea that did not line up with your word would be banished from our mind. But Father, we would stay with our eyes and ears on you. Father, thank you for hearing us. Thank you for the work that you will do within us. Thank you, Father, for the people that you'll put in front of us as we leave here today. And Father, may you use us as a blessing to them. Father, thank you for those that are here this morning. Father, I pray this morning in this time that you would convict our hearts and that we would respond. And we'll give you all the glory. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the one who died for me. It is in His name we pray. Would you stand with me this morning?